You know, when it comes to keeping track of what's going on in the local restaurant scene, folks at Sauce Magazine are in the know, and they fill us in with food and beverage industry news. That includes what's good to eat and new places to eat it. It comes in the form of the monthly Sauce Hit List, and here to update us from Sauce are Managing Editor Catherine Claney and Staff Writer Matt Sorrell. Thanks for being with us, guys.
Thanks
good to see you.
Us. Thank you.
Catherine, quite an international flavor, it seems to me, this month.
A few places, yeah. We have an international food truck that has just launched, and as well as a few new places in Maplewood, so we're excited to check them out. We can start in Maplewood if you'd like. Boardwalk Waffles and Ice Cream has just opened in the last few months in right there on that main drag in Maplewood on Manchester. So this actually started because the owner was a fan of the Jersey Shore growing up. He went there every summer, and he had waffle ice cream sandwiches. And that's exactly what these are. So these sweet Belgian waffles are made to order. Their edges are crispy and fluffy, and they pair perfectly with Serendipity Ice Cream, which is a local ice cream maker from Webster Groves. Waffle cones are great, but I will make the claim that waffle ice cream sandwiches are superior to the cookie ice cream sandwich. You get the crispy edge of the waffle, and as the ice cream melts, it pools into those little cups of the waffle, so it doesn't dribble as much as you would with a cookie. You can get anywhere from a quarter to a full order. A full order is two whole waffles that sandwich four scoops. They have about 20 different flavors that you can pick from that rotate. Our picks are the salty caramel, the spumoni was really good, and then the Gold Coast chocolate is fantastic. And bonus, they just started doing breakfast on the weekends. So now you can get your morning fix with sort of cereal or breakfasty flavored ice creams like French Toast Crunch or Blueberry Cobbler or coffee. So.
Right. I grew up in Jersey.
Oh, did
Spent
you really?
A lot of time in the Jersey Shore. I'll check it out.
You should check into this and let me know which one's better.
Matt, what have you got?
Well, again, in Maplewood, there's a new place called the Blue Duck, and that has moved into the development that used to be Monarch right there at Sutton in Manchester. So the Blue Duck, actually, the first restaurant they opened was in Washington, Missouri. That's still open. This is a second location. I hate to use the tired true phrase, but they specialize in comfort food and lots of it. They have some really great things. One of my favorites when I visited was the DLT. So it's a BLT, but instead of bacon, it has duck bacon, which is really, really delicious. They also have soups, salads, other types of sandwiches, also bigger plates for more entree-sized plates. One of the favorites that I tried of those would be the savory seared scallops. Really nicely well done. Had a savory Bloody Mary sauce with those. And they were served up a really interesting celery root puree that was almost like a polenta.
Sounds delish.
Delicious.
Sounds delish. Catherine?
And then we have two new food trucks that have hit the road. The weather is warming up and the trucks are coming out, starting with Balkan Treat Box. They are slowly rolling out. The owner told me she's going to be out about 2 weeks each month. So she has a roaring wood fire oven inside her truck, and she turns out dishes from the Balkan Peninsula. So we were particularly enthused by the sevapi, which is essentially a beef sausage that she makes that's served in a sort of fluffy pita pocket-like thing called a soman. And it's served with kaimak, which is a rich dairy condiment similar to lebna. Think like a mix of yogurt and sour cream. And ivar, which is a slightly spicy roasted red pepper eggplant sauce. And it's just a really decadent, delicious sort of sandwich type of dish. And then the other thing you should definitely order more than you think you're going to need of is the pide. This is a Turkish wood-fired flatbread that is filled in the middle with sort of just this oozing pool of cheese. And if you want, you can add a smoky sliced sausage on top, beef sausage. And you can find this truck all around town. They've been at Wells Fargo lately, but you can look for her on Twitter and Facebook at Balkan Treat Box, and that's how to find her.
This wood firing has really become a big deal around here lately, hasn't
it? For sure, and I actually saw a video of the fire on the truck just today on Instagram, and it's crazy. It actually like does a full circle in with the ventilation, but she bakes the bread fresh on the truck, which is something I haven't seen before. So.
Just keep it away from the gas tank.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Matt.
Second food truck we have up is called the STL French Quarter truck. So as the name kind of implies, they have a rotating menu of Cajun and Creole classic foods and also some just New Orleans-inspired dishes. They've got a great gumbo. It's based on a really nice, dark, thick roux. They've got a great jambalaya. One thing they had that I really like is the jalapeno cheddar cornbread waffle, which you can use to dip and sop up all the excess sauce you have. Really nice French Quarter po' boy as well. And that's actually, you can find out where that truck is going on Twitter at STL Gumbo Guy.
All right. Well, that shouldn't be hard to find.
No.
And, you know, Catherine, we're really putting ourselves on the map here in terms of our culinary expertise and abilities, aren't we?
Absolutely. In fact, we just got some exciting news last month. The James Beard Foundation announced its semifinalists for its annual Culinary and Restaurant Awards on February 15th. For those not familiar, the James Beard Foundation Awards are essentially one of the nation's highest honors for culinary professionals. And this year, St. Louis has five semifinalists. For Best Chef Midwest, we have a first-time nominee with Jesse Mendica of Olive and Oak, which was one of our best new restaurants that we named last year. And then returning semifinalists are Mike Randolph of Publico, Kevin Willman of Farmhouse, and Kevin Nashin of Sydney Street Cafe. So those four were all in the running for Best Chef Midwest. And then we actually had a Pastaria Executive Chef Ashley Shelton was named a semifinalist for Rising Star Chef of the Year. Now, this category recognizes a chef who is age 30 or younger, who displays impressive talent and is likely to make a significant impact on the industry for years to come. So this is a huge honor for her, big career booster. And she is, I think, in the past few years, we only had one other one, and that was Rick Lewis when he was at a Quincy Street Bistro. So we're very excited for all of them. Finalists are announced in a couple weeks here on March 15th, and then the winners are announced at the Beard Foundation's annual gala on March 1st. So keep an eye on our blog for all that information.
How are they nominated? Who nominates them?
It's a there are members of the foundation all over the country that sort of submit people for consideration, and then they all sort of vote on who they think best represent. Our best representations of those categories. And then from there, the voting goes from that semifinalist round to the finalists.
So Gerard Kraft has some competition winning. He's a big winner, previous big winner.
Gerard won Best Chef Midwest, I believe it was 2 years ago, and that was the first James Beard Award for a chef here in town. So yes, he had that honor a few years ago, and we're happy to see more and more people stepping up every year.
Well, it's certainly good to hear. It's good for the industry, no question about
it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and last month's Joya's Deli also had an honor from the same
Indeed,
organization.
Indeed, they received an honor from the James Beard Foundation essentially for being one of America's long-lasting great restaurants. I forget the exact name of that, but there were only six in the entire country that were given that honor for being around as long as they have and making an impact on their city culturally.
America's Classics Award.
That's what it is. Yes.
One of five nationwide received
yes.
that honor. Okay. Well, it's always an evolving process, this business that you're in, guys. And we've got some new places opening up, Matt.
We sure do. Hope always springs eternal in the restaurant business. There's always plenty of openings. First one we'd like to talk about, it's called Up Down. That is actually an arcade bar concept that is open right now in Kansas City and Des Moines and Minneapolis, and this will be the fourth one. It's actually taken the space of the old Herbie's location in the West End at 405 North Euclid. The lease has been signed, so it is officially going to be happening. No timetable right now. They still have a lot of work to do on the building itself. Then we have Za, which is apostrophe ZZA, pizza and salad from the folks behind Pie Pizzeria. That is opening this week, actually tomorrow, at 282 North Skinker Boulevard, right there by Washington University's Danforth campus. They are going to be just doing pies, pizza pies and salads. The pies are actually oblong, which is interesting because every piece is a corner piece. So you still have the crust and the good stuff from the middle of the pizza as well.
I can't imagine that a pizza place would do well near a university.
Yeah, that's I don't know who thought about that.
It's a smart location on their part.
And the last one I'm going to mention is a place called Good Fortune. This has been a really highly anticipated Chinese-American restaurant from some really famous local restaurateurs who have been behind places like Strange Donuts and Bird and Barrel. This is actually going to be opening in Botanical Heights neighborhood on Tower Grove Avenue in an old child care center. And hopefully we're looking at a July opening for them so far.
You mentioned that Up Down is an arcade bar.
Yes.
This is another thing that seems to be catching on. We're hearing more and more about games to be played and that sort of thing.
We sure are. They're going to have a combination of pinball, skee ball, and also a bunch of vintage arcade games from the 80s and 90s, so things like Pac-Man, Galaga, Tempest, and those sorts of things. So it'll be a little bit of a retro feel in that respect.
Where did all this get started? Do you have any idea?
I don't know where the trend itself actually started. We have a couple places in St. Louis. I know one of the ones that come to mind is probably would be Orbit in Maplewood, which is mostly skee ball and pinball. Then also Start Bar, which is located downtown, which has a lot of vintage arcade games too. But it's been a growing trend, I mean, nationally for a little while.
Right. And basically appealing to young people, or do you get a pretty good mix at these places?
When I have visited these types of places, I get a really good – there's people like, you know, my age who are in the 40s and 50s who remember, you know, early 80s, late 70s video stuff, some older folks who are maybe more into pinball, and then also young people, you know, high school age, you know, college age, who are just kind of want to see what it's all about.
And Catherine, where are you in this whole trend?
I fall more toward the early 90s video game era, but no, it's fun. It's fun to go in and have a drink and play a little Mortal Kombat with your friends, games you can't even play anymore. But the thing that I really enjoy about it is the games are not the moneymaker at these places. Mm-hmm. They're 25 cents, and they're always a quarter, just like when you grew up, or they're free in some cases, depending on, like, Four Hands Tasting Room has some great old-school console games that are all free play. You just play as much as you want. You know, and you can still go and get some great beer, or great cocktails, depending on where you go, some good food. So it's more about enhancing your experience rather than trying to make some money off of people.
I would think some people might be turned away, as it were, thinking it's going to be too loud.
You know what, it might be, but there are some people who enjoy that atmosphere and there are others who don't. And there's lots of bars in this city that cater to a quiet, more relaxed cocktail bar kind of atmosphere. And there are other people who enjoy the lights and the sounds and the level up noises every time you get another round.
It's not like we don't have a lot of choices and places to go.
Absolutely.
In the St. Louis area. Well, the other side of the scale, we've talked about openings and some new trends. Also, closings come into the mix every month.
Inevitably, a couple closings do occur. Right around the corner, actually, here in Midtown, Diablito's Cantina shut its doors for good after service on February 14th. The Mexican Cantina opened in 2011. Owner Gupreet Pata said that their lease with St. Louis University, who owned the building, was up, and the university intends to tear down the building to build more dorms, which is, you know, obviously great for the university, unfortunate for Diablito's, but that is how the game is played. So, and then sort of a closing, but not really. The Fifth Wheel Catering used to run the menu at Four Hands Tasting Room. So Four Hands didn't do their own food. They brought in Fifth Wheel to do it. And they closed Sunday, February 5th there. Fifth Wheel owner Dave Bailey, who also owns Bailey's Range, Small Batch, Rooster, all of those places, said the company is refocusing its catering efforts on its new two downtown event spaces, Willow and Slate. But Four Hands has recently partnered with Kevin Nashin, who, as I just mentioned, is a James Beard nominated chef. He owns Sydney Street Cafe and also Peacemaker Lobster and Crab. And he and Peacemaker Chef de Cuisine John Messbarger have created a new menu that will now be served at Four Hands that includes some things that have been inspired by Peacemaker, like their brisket po' boys, seafood dip. And we're excited to try that out. We think it's going to be a fun, exciting way to enjoy some beer at Four Hands.
The restaurant business is a tough business.
It is.
It really is tough, particularly with the kind of competition we have around here. In the minute or so we have left, how big a deal is the Beard Award, really, to people who win it? What does it really mean to
consider
them?
It the Academy Awards of the food industry. There, people work very hard, obviously, at their restaurants for their customers and for their hometown community. But this is where the industry itself looks at who is really showcasing the best of their region and their abilities, and really gives them that recognition. So it's definitely one of the biggest, if not the biggest, honor in the culinary industry here.
Matt, does it mean more business for the establishments where they work?
It usually does. It sure does. People hear about them and you know, makes them want to go even further and try them out. And I will say, we should really be proud of the fact that in a fairly small market like St. Louis, we have so many every year. We've got
Absolutely. You
know, four or five, six people, seven people in different restaurants on, you know, that are recognized as finalists and semifinalists. It's a big deal.
Good for us. Good for us. Catherine Klaney and Matt Sorrell, thank you so much for being with us with another hit list, you folks from Sauce Magazine. You can follow Sauce Magazine on Facebook and Twitter for the latest information about openings, closing, and peaks at new restaurants. That's it from us. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.